You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
As we journey through this new season of coronavirus, we continue our journey as Christians through the season of Lent. Lent is the 40-day period leading up to Easter when people who call themselves Christians seek to become more faithful disciples of Jesus, strive to seek first God's kingdom, yearn for deeper purpose and meaning in life, and grow in awareness of the reality of death and resurrection, and the scriptural affirmation that in life and in death we belong to God. So in these challenging and unfamiliar situations that we find ourselves in, we are continuing with our Lenten series called Jesus the Teacher, listening in new and deeper ways to the teachings of Jesus and the Gospel according to Matthew. In Matthew's Gospel, there are five blocks of the teachings of Jesus, and today we're looking at the fourth of those five blocks in chapter 18. The one that focuses on church community, on the way that we're called to be together as God's people in the church and in the world. The chapter ends with a lengthy parable about forgiveness, when Jesus seems to get even a little bit exasperated with his disciples when they just don't seem to get it. My original plan was to focus on that teaching about forgiveness. But we put that aside given the current situation, and instead I'm going to focus more generally on the idea of community, which is the central theme in Matthew chapter 18. The chapter ends with this strong call to forgive, which is certainly part of any vital community, and it begins with a call to childlike humility. Listen for God's word in the first five verses of Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Being together in community is vital to the Christian life, and being together in community is vital to human life. But in the last week or so, our sense of what community is has changed radically. Our church, our workplaces, our gyms, our restaurants, our movie theaters are all temporarily closed. Instead, we're spending a lot more community time in our homes, sometimes a lot more community time than we expected or maybe even wanted, with our loved ones together, doing our best in this virus-prone situation. So Jesus' words about forgiveness and humility might be very appropriate for those of us who are feeling a little claustrophobic in our homes together with loved ones. But at the center of this chapter on community is a very important teaching. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This, friends, is the promise of faith, that God is with us everywhere and anywhere. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us always. We hear this promise particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, The gospel begins with the promise of the birth of Jesus, and we're told about his birth, and it's the angel says, they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then bookending the gospel, at the conclusion of the gospel, after his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he gives them what's known as the Great Commission, and he says to them, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them, remember everything, and remember I am with you always. God has promised over and over again to be with us always. And standing right in the middle of Matthew's gospel is that promise, where two or three are gathered together, I am there with you. But I have to confess, I've always wondered about that two or three people part of the teaching. What about when we're alone? Isn't God with us when we're by ourselves? What I realized anew this week is that God indeed is always with us, but sometimes when we're alone, we forget. At times, I found myself alone this week and looking at my computer or my phone and reading story after story and finding myself getting more anxious and more concerned and more worried as I sit there alone. And I don't find that particularly helpful, but it's hard not to do that. Yes, we need to be informed. Yes, we need to be prepared. Yes, we need to take appropriate action. But letting ourselves get worked up into a frenzy of fear and anxiety and negativity isn't going to help. And to avoid that, we need each other. This is where Jesus' teaching about two or three gathering together seems so vital. Because when we're together with other people, we remember that God is with us. So I was really glad this week to be able to have a 30-minute video chat with my friend Ken out in Arizona. We talked a little bit about the virus situation, but most of our conversation, we talked about our families, we talked about the churches where we are. We told a lot of bad jokes like we always do together. And I reminded Ken of my desire more and more each year that I'm here in Wisconsin to spend the entire month of February with him out in Arizona. Maybe I'll be there next year. Who knows? I enjoyed that conversation very much. And then later in the week, we had a video chat with my father-in-law in Virginia. It was the first time that we've used video on the phone with him. We talk on the phone on a regular basis, but we used video this time so we could see him and he could see us. We had a wonderful conversation together. On the home front, our teenage boys have been home a lot more than usual because of this situation. I played chess with one of them. I went outside and threw a football with the other one. My wife and I have enjoyed having meals and conversations and watching TV shows together. There's a lot of togetherness this week, despite the situation. Here at church, we had our staff meeting together via Zoom technology. So some of us were in the same building together. Some of us joined through the internet. I posted a picture of that actually on the Covenant Facebook page of the seven of us who were able to be there together. And I also had a Zoom meeting this week with about 20 pastors from around the state of Wisconsin. It was wonderful to be together with colleagues in ministry to share our joys, our concerns, our hopes, and our fears together. All of these interactions have reminded me that where two or three people are, God is indeed present. And I'm grateful for that. I've been reading a book about fear and faith. And in this book, the author talks about dogs. As dog owners know, dogs get afraid of thunder and fireworks, and loud noises like that. We actually had some thunder earlier this week here in Madison. So the author in this book, he wrote about something I'd never heard of before, something called thunder shirts. Apparently, putting a snug and cozy shirt on a dog gives them great comfort and peace. At least it does for 80% of the dogs, according to the advertisement I saw online. It's kind of like swaddling a baby. It's kind of like being surrounded by God's love. Now is the time, friends, when we need to be thunder shirts, if you will, for one another, to surround each other with love and comfort and support. Yes, we need to be cautious about physical touch right now, but we can be with each other emotionally, electronically, and prayerfully. So today I have an invitation for you. Wherever you are watching or listening to this message, my hope is that in the spirit of the words of Jesus, you will think of two or three people right now, people that you might reach out to. And I encourage you right now, wherever you are, find a piece of paper or open up a screen on your device, a new document. I'll wait a second. Open that up and think about a couple of people, two or three people that you want to reach out to today, tomorrow, sometime soon. Maybe send them an email, maybe send them a text, maybe give them a call, maybe try using voice technology with them just to say hello, just to check in with them. And if you're watching this with other people, talk amongst yourselves about who you might reach out to. And maybe you could do that together. And a friendly suggestion to any kids, teenagers, young adults, please be patient with those who aren't digital natives if you're using new technology. Help us all learn and grow together. And since you've got these names written down, not only do I want you to reach out for them, but I'd like you to pray for these people every day. Pray for them that God would bless them and surround them. A simple prayer is perfect. You could simply say, "Dear God, I pray for Ken and his family," or whatever the name is. I pray for them that you would bless them. And if by chance you're watching this or listening to this alone and you feel alone, you're anxious, you're concerned, you're hurting, please reach out. Please contact the church via email, via phone, contact a church staff member, contact a friend, a neighbor, a family member. People are there for you. We need one another at this time. At one time or another, we all feel a little bit anxious, a little bit concerned. At one time or another, we all need that thunder shirt. We all need reassurance. We all need a shoulder to lean on, even if it's just a virtual one at this point. The good news of the gospel is true even in scary times like these. God is with us. God loves us. We are never alone. We will get through this together. Amen.